Yeah, what you are about to hear is a work of fan fiction. All characters and events and settings, even those based on the ones from World of Warcraft, are entirely fictional, and half of it was probably made up on the spot. Listening to this production indicates your consent to its terms of service, which we forgot to write down.
Last time, Butch and Falkus transported an unconscious Ahri back to the Silver Covenant base to recover. She was down for the count for the rest of the day, experiencing one heck of a fever dream. While they rested, Butch overheard an intense conversation between Lariadra and Captain Braxton, which ended with Lariadra's arrest. What could our heroes possibly do in this situation? It's time to find out as we queue up for some more heroic dungeons and dragons.
The next morning, Butch wakes up. Falkus, you've probably been awake for a little while now as you require much less time to recuperate. Ahri is still downstairs in the Covenant headquarters area. Over the course of the last few hours, the heat has started to die down, but the more visible physical changes have progressed. Ahri, what does your body look like when you wake up the following morning?
Yeah, absolutely. So waking up the next morning, the tattoos are there. They are definitely black. I still have like kind of that auburny red hair, but the black's there for sure. There are little horns that have kind of popped up. They're not super big. Like we're talking 3 or 4 inches, like there, but not in the sense that you have to duck down to like get into doors or anything like that. They're kind of it's like that ashy gray color, like not quite black, but still definitely a little bit dark. And they curve back just a little bit. And I think that's it so far, because I'm still kind of sleeping.
Yeah, as you wake up, you would open your eyes. I think that's the other thing.
So yeah, so as I open my eyes, they are now glowing red.
As we start the morning, are you going for the... It wouldn't be hard to put this together for you. Are you going for the sort of Demon Hunter blindfold situation?
Yeah.
Or are you going to wear it open?
Nope, I think I would do Demon Hunter blindfold, kind of a like black color or dark gray, like whatever color of those two cloth options I have available in whatever room I'm in.
It's not hard to put it together. I mean, you've got, like, there's material available. Butch, where did you spend the night?
Where the rest people were. I just got a bedroll and, you know, everyone's hunkering down, spent the night. Like, I just imagine it's a whole group of people, you know, no one's better than anyone else. And so I imagine there's, you know, 8 or 10 people in the same room that I'm snoring in.
And Falkus, how about you?
I feel like the typical family member while another family member's in the hospital sort of situation, where I'm sitting either, if I could be in a corner of the room, just kind of like dozing in a chair in the corner, just waiting for her to start to stir. Or at least very close nearby, waiting for her to start to stir.
Everybody wakes up. It's as weird as it is to say this, it's breakfast time. And you see that Ahri is up and about, but some stuff has happened in the last few hours.
Oh, wow. So we're looking at a new icon of Ahri with the auburn hair, with horns,
tattoos, and the blindfold.
And you're saying that Ahri's walking around?
Yeah, she's awake. She's conscious. She feels better.
Well, I get up off my bed mat, roll it up, and go into the room and see something I wasn't quite prepared for. Ari?
How you feel?
Good. What happened? Is everyone okay? The kids?
Kids are fine. Kids are okay. You've had us worried there for a moment. Still a little worried, but glad to see you alive.
Can we just talk about it? What happened? Everyone's here is fine. What happened to you?
You can't defeat a demon. Like, you can't. And the wizard kid guy, like he said, we weren't going to be able to do this. Whatever this came from, whatever Sylvanas sent into us, this wasn't going to happen. So this was it. This was the only way is someone had to try to take it out.
By consuming it.
I mean, like, that's how demon hunters do it, is they consume. What else?
You mentioned the word demon hunter, and I immediately, you can just tell, like, I am not happy with that
word. Is this what's going on? This isn't a disguise. This is a forever thing. You're a demon hunter?
It had to happen. We didn't have any other options. And I mean, like, traditionally, when you become a demon hunter, there's all sorts of things that happen. But I'm like, let's be honest, I'm already cursed. We don't want to say cursed, but it's a curse. I'm already cursed. What's one more curse?
I don't know if I would have made that decision, Ari. I'm sure I wouldn't have, if I'm honest.
I understand the situation we were in. Doesn't mean I have to like it. But I understand the situation we were in.
This was my choice. And it's going to be fine. Like, what's the worst that's going to happen? Like, I have some tattoos now.
You don't have eyes.
And some horns, too.
Yeah, but I like the horns.
Oh. Well, your vanity knows no bounds.
I'm gonna like. I can tell that the temperature is gone, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm gonna embrace you like a lovingly family member, like completely tight, happy that you're still alive, that you're okay, and just give you a tight hug.
I will, like, not like super creepy whisper, but like whisper like, you must have been worried. Because you're not the lovey-dovey type. Like, this is different for Falcus.
I was.
Well, now that's settled, let's get some grub. Do you even eat anymore?
My belly grumbles in response, like, audibly. Like, you can hear it. I'll just look down at it. And I'll just be like, yeah, I think so.
Okay, well, just, let's go ahead and I put in both your hands a cook treat so I can make three of them, right? And what that does is give you three temporary hit points for today.
I eat said cook treat.
Before we step out, I am going to whisper back to Ari. It's like, I hope you don't mind. You know how weird I was. I summoned Mia.
Yeah, she's upstairs. It just occurred to me that I don't have a token for her, so I've been frantically looking for one. I don't have one, so we're going to play like she's on the map. She would walk down, having heard that things are starting to start for the morning. She would see you all, and she would see you, Ari, and she has this look on her face like, okay, I get it. She processes how much, like, she takes a moment to check her own, like, emotional state and then goes, yeah, that's not important. And then walks downstairs and gives you a big hug, looks at you in your eyes, kind of, and says, I'm just glad you're all right.
I will. So, like, she lets go of the hug and says that, and I'll pull her back in and hug her. Because at this moment, with what Ari's just been through, with what I've just been through, the place that I loved the most, like, this garden was special to me. Like, it was something that meant a lot. And I know physically in this world, like, it maybe will exist again someday, but I've just been through something where that part of me is gone, or at least changed. And
changed.
Yeah, yeah, changed. Seeing Mia and just the emotions that Garden brought up, everything's Mia done for me. And it's just, it's a lot right now. So like, I just pull her back into the hug. And as I pull back out, I just kind of smile. And there's like tears, but the kind of tears that you're like, trying to hide, but not really trying to hide. Like they're coming down. And I just shrug and I go, what's one more curse? It's okay.
What's one more curse kind of makes her do that thing where she's trying to be serious, but the laugh sneaks out anyway. And it sort of breaks the tension a bit. And in that moment, you see that she sees that you're still you. And a lot of the... She's like, all right, there's a lot we got to figure out. This is clearly going to be a thing. But, you know, we're all together. And we'll figure it out. It's going to be... You're going to be fine. We are all going to be fine. It's just going to be... We're here to... If you need something, we're here to help you with that. A little bit of information about what all was happening, I think would probably be great. But, you know, in your own time...
Let's actually... Mia, let's clue you in on some, because... And it doesn't pay me to say this... But I think Gin might need help or be in over his head. We need to find Lariadra. And have we told her like what's been going on and everything like that?
No, we haven't let her in on anything yet. We only summoned her here knowing that she was basically your next of kin within the immediate vicinity and somebody who's probably a world-class healer to be able to help if needed.
I don't know what you can do about her eyes.
I'm just going to give Butch like one of those... Like on the shoulder. Like, dude, come on.
You make the point about the healing. As the DM, I just want to remind, Ari just had like this whole combat encounter. You are now currently after long rest. Like your full hit points, spell slots, the whole deal. You don't have to have actually expended anything in that vision.
Okay. Okay, well, let's find Lariadra. Let's clue everyone in on what's going on. I think, you know, Mia...
You just woke up. So we'll... Yeah, I don't know if we've then filled you in on what happened to Lariadra. Or you... Oh, you don't... Yeah, you want to know. So...
You tell her.
I'll tell her everything that happened with... Yeah. Tell her the whole slew of things. So... I'm pretty sure Amelia has the stone. If it's in the keep, or at least she has it in her... Not immediate possession, but she has it. It's in the keep. It's where she just took Lariadra to. And all of this, all of the people that she's arrested, all the people that she's been trying to silence, all the people that have gotten too close, it all boils back down to the stone. Yes, Anduin was kind of part of it too, but it also goes back to the stone. I think she has
it. Okay. I have thoughts. Two things real quick. Mia, I want to talk to you, but first, is there like a random like guard somewhere or like not keep... Like
plenty.
Person?
Yeah, there's okay. So the hierarchy of the Silver Covenant today is... Felarin is at the top. Now that she's gone, they've taken over. There are plenty of rangers who are the rank and file of the organization that you can tap for various things. And then there's also, like, everybody who you've rescued is also here.
Okay, so I'll turn to one of them and I'll be like, can you get Harrison Jones and the two archaeologists down here real quick? Or over here or up here?
Yeah, absolutely. They, you know, hustle off, be back in a few minutes.
While they're going to do that, I want to turn to Mia. Mia, have you seen Gin lately?
No, probably not in... Oh, gee, we used to try to set aside at least one night a week for dinner, and it's been... Things have been busy, so no, probably not in a few weeks. Why?
I'm wondering... I believe Falcus. The stone is in the keep. We know that. And Amelia is, I mean, she has to be close to Gin and this quote, Anduin quote that's there or whatever. What effects this gym is having and how that is affecting Gin and everyone? Because if it's doing this to Amelia, what is it doing to anyone else in that keep?
You make all these... you know, you explain that this is what we think. And she says, well, I mean, I don't know. That's a good line of thinking. I haven't seen King Gen around very often. He spends most of his time in the keep. I have seen Lady Braxton around. As far as I can tell, she hasn't acted in any sort of abnormal way other than her, you know, she's always been sort of ferocious when it came to enforcing the law. But that doesn't seem to have changed any time recently.
At this time, I mean, we feel she's overstretching her bounds. Would that be right, guys?
Well, like Mia would say, you've certainly seen more than I have, so that very well may be the case. But from the outside looking in, I don't know her intimately well, but...
Okay. Have the archaeologists come back down?
Yeah. Harrison and the archaeologists have both entered into the room that you're in. You guys have had your brief conversation, and then they enter.
Can you tell us everything about the stone? You guys were the ones to find it, just everything. Did it have any effects on you? Anything you noticed? What is going on?
Right. So it is about this big, and they hold their hands up, about the size of like a full loaf of bread. It's kind of jagged, sort of crystalline, very, very cold to the touch. As they describe it, it matches exactly the description physically of the shard of blood, which you guys looted back in the jungle. They say, yeah, it crashed in the caldera of what I guess used to be once upon a time an old volcano in the middle of Duskwood. Now, since then, it's become a beautiful grove, and there's a big world tree that grows out of it, and there's like druidic, you know, symbols. And there was at one point a dragon who hung out there a bunch. It landed there, and it damaged the surrounding area. When we got there, there were sort of like... It was strange. I don't want to say that there were ghosts, but there were things that moved that had a very haunted kind of vibe to it. They describe to you a scene very similar to, like, think of an old Disney background where you see spirits moving kind of like in the distance, you know, very, very background of the Haunted Mansion kind of thing, where like every once in a while there would be something that would move and you're like, oh, okay, it's, but there wasn't anything immediately around it. We did hear the screaming of what sounded like an abomination running through the woods, but it didn't interact with us at all. We picked it up, we put it in a bag, we brought it to Stormwind. We were here for about 3 hours before we were accosted by two men in dark, sort of very concealing outfits, kind of ninja style face masks, hoods, long sleeves, the whole deal. We were then brought to the stockades as if we had done something wrong. They explained to us that we were being arrested for disorderly conduct and, you know, creating public disturbance, which was weird because we had only been in town for a little bit. And then we were put into the jail. While it was Daniel's home that was actually ransacked. He's like, while I was there, like, they were pulling apart drawers and stuff. They took actual valuables that we had and set them aside. Like, this isn't what we're looking for. Hmm. They took some of our research notes. They took the object itself, and then they made off to somewhere. But really, so far as I'm aware, the only thing that they took was the object and like our notes about it. It was clearly magical. We're not very magically attuned, so we weren't able to get a solid understanding of exactly what it does. But it fell from the sky. It's clearly associated with the event that happened in the sky on the day that, you know, everything sort of went down. It appears to be one of four, based off of the sightings that other people had reported to us, sort of, you know, sky watchers and that kind of thing, that had seen the event. But the specifics about exactly what it does, we don't know. And then Harrison would pick up from there and say, what we can confirm is that the sort of creepy things that have happened in town, the freak thunderstorm that came in yesterday, the flash frost from a couple days ago, all these things appear to be magical effects that are affecting the city. Like, if you consider the entire city to be one regional area, it appears to affect the city. Very little evidence to suggest that it affects anything outside of the city limits, which is kind of strange. And based on our readings, you know, archaeologists with their little tripods, with their telescopes and their blinking red and green lights, we suspect that the epicenter of these activities has been the keep. So we think that if the magical things that are happening are associated with the gem, then that puts it solidly somewhere in the keep. Whether or not it needs to be in the hands of someone to have its power manifest, whether it can do things just sort of spontaneously on its own, it's sort of up in the air at this point. But those are the sort of hard facts that we know at this point about the object. And as he describes all these things, most of the stuff you guys already had from your own investigations. You are hearing another investigation that happened a few days before you guys arrived that came to the same conclusions.
I mean, we've seen these ninjas before.
You have. The description that he gives is the same as the description of the guys that came after you.
You mean the guys who tried to kill Ari?
Right, yes.
Those weren't SI7 guys. Oh, shoot, we have one here. His face is all punched in, but we have him here.
He's a little punched. It's fine. Yeah, but you do.
We still haven't figured out who he's working for, right?
Oh, no, he was very explicit about that. Ari tortured him into telling you guys that he was under orders from Matthias Shaw of SI7.
That's right. And every time I say here, like, who does he work for? It's like, who does number two work
me
for?
Me too. That was totally in my head.
We all live in Austin Powers land. Mm. I would like an investigation check from the whole party, please.
It's the first time I'm rolling today.
12.
6.
That was on 17 and it rolled over to a 10. Stupid D&D Beyond. It's a 16.
It's digital.
On a 16, Falkus, I would say that there are some dots that you put together in this moment. The assassin who went after Ari was under instructions from Matthias Shaw. The arrests that happened that were a little bit more public, the arrest of Uldoon Blackpowder, the arrest of Harrison Jones, these were under the orders of Amelia Braxton. Both the captain of the guard, Amelia, and the commander of SI7, Matthias, get their orders directly from the king.
Who the heck is sitting on the throne then? That looks like Anduin, who's obviously got the crystal. Can the crystal turn into human form?
You should see the look on Casey's face.
That's a fun... It would be fun to say yes to that. But for two reasons, I'm not going to say yes. The first reason is you don't have any evidence to prove that that's true, so I don't want to give you that as a confirmed answer. And secondly, I didn't even think of that. I'm loath to tell you something direct about this thing that you haven't done an investigation on, but truly, I didn't even consider that as a possibility that the crystal could take human form. So... I will say that Falkus comes to that conclusion and then sets it aside as a possibility that needs further investigation. I'm going to tell you right now, I think that's hilarious and I wish I had thought of it.
I'm just going back. We're talking about here, we got Daniel Shanks, a.k.a. Daniel Jackson from Stargate. There's an episode of Stargate SG-1 where they go to a planet. There's a bunch of crystals there and Colonel O'Neill touches one of the crystals and gets copied by that crystal. The crystal's an actual being, it's an actual creature, and he gets copied. He's just, their energy is what they are. These crystals are just energy, so they create a copy out of him that's just made out of energy, and they leave Colonel O'Neill on the planet and bring back home the copy Colonel O'Neill, and that's a whole fun thing after that.
Nerd.
But anyway, that's where my brain went. Yes, thank you.
That's not how I thought of it. How I thought of it was I needed a name for an archaeologist. That was as far as it went.
I know.
Did you actually send a letter to Wellath last night?
No.
Okay.
It would have been my first thing this morning. I'm still not happy with him. I'm less unhappy, but that still doesn't mean I'm not going to possibly deck him when I see him next.
If you went to the mailbox, you would have seen that your party does have two pieces of mail.
Sure. Oh, you mean last night or this morning if I went? Like, maybe I was going to send the mail and decided not to?
If you had made the choice to send a letter to Wellath, you would have seen that your party does have two pieces of mail waiting for them in the mailbox.
Gotcha. No, I think I just sat here the whole night waiting with Ari, and then she happened to wake up this morning, but it was probably going to be the first thing I would have done this morning.
So but you went to the mailbox.
Let's go check the mailbox.
You're going to mail something, so you're there anyway.
So there isn't anything for you, Falkus. There is a letter from Billy, quote-unquote, Battle Chin Greenhops for Butch. And there is a letter for Ari addressed from Wellath.
What?
I'm going to quietly smolder at that. And I think I was like about to maybe like mail the letter, but I was like, no, she's awake now. She's fine. She seems okay. This seems to be her decision. Like, I'm sitting here at the mailbox, like trying to figure out if I'm going to send this to Wellath or not. I pull out the mail and go.
How many days has this been sitting in the mailbox?
It's postmarked from a few days ago. Yeah. It's been a while.
All right. Welcome back from the mail. I'm going to hand Butch his mail and Ari for you. I'm just going to see like the seething anger behind my eyes a little bit when I hand it to you.
I totally ignore the seething anger and don't notice it at all. And rip open mine and hold it to the side a little bit, and then just try to you know I don't read so good. I can read, but also his handwriting. But I got it up the right direction now. Okay, what's it say?
It's a very short, very friendly letter from Billy. It lets you know that the Branded Beauty will meet you at Stormwind in a few days. Like, he says the date, and it's like a couple days from now, but this letter was postmarked a few days ago. There is a solid chance that he'll be here this afternoon to this evening in the city.
All right. Well, looks like we got a ride to Pandaria once we wrap all this stuff up and look squarely at our Arlie.
Arlie, this is a response to the letter that you sent when you were in Darkshire.
Perfect.
Prior to the Dark Moon Fair and all those other shenanigans happening, it was the night that you guys were attacked by the Ghost of Stitches. You sent this letter. This is a response to that. Shall I send it to you in a DM?
Yeah, I'll decide what if I want to say.
That's more fun to me because it's going to make Falkus and Erica upset. So shoot this over to you in a message.
I have to remember what I wrote him because this was like a long time ago, so I'm reading that real quick.
Oh, it sent it as a picture. That's weird. I copied it from OneNote and put it into a DM, and it went as a picture of the copy.
All right.
That's fine. I'm sure it'll be okay. If you can't read it, I will copy it in text and paste it like piece by piece.
Does he do any PS, like PS this, or is it just end with his sign off?
No, it ends with the sign off.
Perfect. I can read it then. We're good.
Okay, cool. So Ari's got her letter. Falkus has an arrow, and there is a, you guys were told by Old Dune that there is a scroll that may give you some more information about, not explicitly the shard, but can be used to find out more information about the shard. A scroll that has a spell in it called Legend Lore, which is like Identify, but rather than give you the specific mechanical functions of a magical item, it gives you the legendary and historic importance and history of a magic item. You have those things that you can pursue today. There's going to be a ship docking in Stormwind this afternoon to this evening sometime with Billy and the crew. And you have the day ahead of you What would you like to do?
With Ari feeling better and doing her thing, I mean, I'd like to see about incorporating this arrow into my bow.
Okay, how would you like to go about doing that? You can visit the enchanter, you can visit the engineer, you can come up with something on your own, whatever floats your boat.
I'm thinking probably the enchanter, because the engineering of the bow is done. Trying to get something magical to, like, wrap itself into it and feed it and do that, I think requires an enchanter or something to that extent who can do that kind of merging and melding of items.
All right, easy enough. Given your understanding of the conversation that Butch overheard, the one yesterday between Emilia and Lariadra, you expect that you may not necessarily be wanted for a jailbreak from yesterday, because that was Lariadra. Like, she's the one, basically. So you make the decision to go out into town without any kind of, like, disguise happening, and you do that successfully. Are able to easily... Okay, go ahead.
I was like, well, how about this? Let's leave the Silver Covenant with a cloak on, and let's stop by the barber shop and get my hair color changed. And then we'll go to the...
Okay. You used to be a redhead. What is you now?
Bluish purple.
Oh, right on. Okay, cool. You're able to go do that very, very easily. It costs you a pittance. I'm not even going to have you deduct it from your character sheet. Yeah, like a bluish purple going on. That's rad. And the barbershop does this thing where it affects the roots as well, so it'll continue to grow that way until such time as you change it. Because that's annoying. That's the worst part about coloring your hair. You go to the enchanter at that point, Cordell's enchanting down in the mage quarter, and present them with the bow and the arrow. And the enchanter takes one look at it and goes, "What in the world is this?"
It just so happens.
You want to tell him about opening a portal directly to Sylvanas?
Yeah, right. I happen to be in possession of an arrow from a very specific person, and it hasn't disappeared or anything like that, and therefore I'd like to incorporate it into this weapon.
The owner, previous owner, shall remain nameless. It just rhymes with Wilwanis Sinrunner.
Okay, you take the arrow of Sinrunner and you try to incorporate its magic into a mechanical longbow. The enchanter is going to take his tools and he is going to begin to cast in such a way as to disenchant the arrow but hold the magic in place and imbue it into the bow. As he does so, imagine like a pressure cooker that's not put together right, and it starts to, like, this, like, the screws on the outside of it, like a train boiler, are starting to, like, pop. It's almost like it's overflowing, like there's too much in here. Falkus, you see that happening and realize you need to be a part of this, the construction of this. You watch as he's trying to push more and more of the magic from this arrow into this bow, that there are all of these sort of screws and cogwheels and gears and stuff that make up sort of the more technical parts of the arms of the bow that start to unravel. What do you do about that?
I'd like to think that I put my hands on the bow. I have my own innate arcane ability that I feel like, as when I usually do, like, an arcane shot or other things like that, like, have that same feeling flow through me to the bow as I normally would, like, where if I were to, you know, shoot an arrow out, but I'm feeding it into the bow to try to keep the components and parts together as this magic gets melded into it.
Incredible. So essentially, he's doing the heavy lifting and you're doing the fine tuning is what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Go ahead and roll me your intelligence. I will say, because this is a weapon, you're a fighter, this is something that you channel magic through weapons all the time. Do intelligence plus proficiency.
That is a critical one for
awesome.
A seven.
So you are trying to refine this. Rather than focusing things into where they need to be, you are in the way. You are putting your hands right where he was trying to go, and you're creating a bumbling sort of situation. The whole bow starts to vibrate in a way that makes it like harder to focus the next thing. He's like, hey man, could you if you're going to be a part of this, could you back off a little bit? And then you see that at the top part of the arm where the bowstring, like the way a mechanical bow works is there's rather than just one piece where when you pull it, you have to use your muscle force to pull the string back. There's pulleys in place that relieve a lot of that tension off of the user and instead put them on the machinery. That starts to, there's screws in there that are starting to unscrew and come out of the device. How do you address that?
Oh gosh. He yelled at me that I was getting in the way. So I think what I will do is probably use my engineering tools or tinkerer's tools to put an Allen wrench or something in some place to kind of hold stuff from doing, or try to tighten them back up without being in the way of the mage.
Okay, absolutely. We're going to roll dexterity with proficiency this time.
A little bit better, 14. God, why are these low rolls?
Yeah, you got low rolls. But 14
I had a plus 8, I had a plus 6, and I still...
Your 14 is much better. You grab that Allen wrench and jam it into that socket and twist, and a whole bunch of steam comes out and a whole bunch of the pressure is relieved. The thing stops vibrating. It still needs a little bit more work. As you, as he's pushing the magic in and trying to refine it, there's still the arrow is a small thing. It's anyone can pick up an arrow with one hand, but what's in the arrow is huge. We're talking about an arrow shot from Sylvanas. It's very, very heavily magically imbued. He hasn't actually grabbed all of it. It occurs to you in this moment that the part of the reason that this is fighting so much is that it's trying to put all of it into the handle and the arms of the bow, and there's none in the bowstring. What's left in the arrow has to go somewhere. What will you do about that?
The bad idea, taking a page out of Ari's book here, would be to absorb it into myself. But, you say put it in the bowstring is where I need to go with it, where it needs to be directed to?
It seems like that's the part that isn't absorbing anything.
Is there a reasoning why it's not absorbing, or how can I direct that?
Figuring out what the reason is that it's not absorbing anything may be the check that you, if you want to roll that as your last check, we can do that if you want.
Sure.
Go ahead and roll an arcana about it. And this one we'll roll with advantage.
Good. Another one that I got a plus 6 in. It was uno and dos. What the 11 on that advantage roll. I rolled a 5. And a 4.
Okay. You point this out to him that, hey, it's not in the bowstring. He's like, I'm focusing in it. It's supposed to go into the bow. The bowstring is part of the bow. I'm not understanding. So you try to use your arcane ability to sort of manifest it into the bowstring. The entire bowstring catches on fire. There's an explosion within the arcane laboratory of the enchanter's office, and you are going to take 4d6 fire damage. You're gonna take 11 fire damage as this thing blows up in your face.
The entire bow blew up.
It blew up. Yeah, it blew up in your face. You take 11 damage.
Okay.
As the smoke clears, you see On the other side of the bench that you two were working on, the enchanter had goggles on his eyes. He's pulled them up, and now he's got that, like, clean eyes and soot-faced face with, like, the explodey hair. Part of the hair that's standing out to one side actually has an active little, like the size of a birthday candle flame, little flame on the end of his standing out hair, because the thing he was trying to enchant just detonated at the end of his focus. And sitting on the table, surrounded by a perfect ring of like it's flat on the inside and explodey out on the outside of soot, but within the soot circle is like clean and pristine wood, is the bow that you were working on. The bowstring is fully missing. There's no bowstring on it. The metal of the bow has changed color. It is no longer the steel, sort of stainless steel coloring of the mechanical bow that you were working on. It is now a much darker color. You look at it and the metal itself is darker. It's not that it's covered in soot. It's that the metal has changed color.
I'm going to do the lick my thumb, lick my forefinger, and put out his end of his hair. And he's like, well, that was unexpected.
He looks around. He looks at the damage to his office. He says, I think that it worked.
But also, you better go now.
Time that you bring in something to enchant, I would appreciate it if it's this explosive and dangerous that we get a little bit more information about the materials that we're using so I can better prepare for that. Normally, enchanting costs... normally, an enchantment of this style would cost 50 gold. Because you've provided the materials and the components. Because my shop has been damaged, I am going to have to increase that to 125.
I'm going to reach into my pocket and pull out a small bag and hand him 250 and say thank you.
Wonderful. Yeah, deduct 250, my God. Deduct 150 gold from your inventory.
I did say 250.
Oh, you did say 250?
Yeah.
Oh, then even better. He's like, hey, listen, you know what? The next time you need something done, let me know. Thank you so much for your business. He hands you...
I feel really bad about this. This office is going to take a little while to fix.
It's going to take a little while, but he has the budget for it. You take your bow back. It's charged with magic. It is intensely charged with magic. It doesn't have a bowstring, and it occurs to you that it doesn't need one.
Ooh. Like feeling along where it would be, I can just feel the energy. I'm going to assume between yeah. The two ends. Okay. I'm going to have to play with this later.
You can go ahead and add the shadow shot to your inventory.
Is that a bow or a spell?
It is a bow.
Oh my gosh, Falcus finally got a bow.
There is awesome. Also, because of the way that D&D Beyond does magic items, and because of the way that, like, if a magic item offers multiple things to do and they all have, like, once per day abilities or something, you can't put all of that as charges on the magic item. Instead, you would do it the way that, like, a staff of power or a staff of frost or something has this many charges and you can spend a certain number of them for various things. If that's not the way you want to do it and you instead want the ability to like once per day per each thing, there's not a way to do that on the item. So instead, if you would add the Shadow Shot abilities feat to your class, just so that we can add that to your list of actions that you can do the way we've been doing for your class features, there should be something called Shadow Shot abilities, which will let you have like individual charges for the various things that you want to do.
Yeah, Withering Fire, 3 times per long rest, Cloak of Shadows, once per long rest, Wailing Arrow, once per long rest.
Yeah, the bow comes with a lot of really cool features. I suggest that you read over them carefully before the next time we're in a fight.
Will do.
at this point, we're probably getting pretty close for wrapping for today's session. So I'd like to know what is next to do.
Okay, I'll tell you what I've been doing this whole day. I've been foraging for kind of like I did like the day before to make all that rabbit stew. I am foraging for, you know, edible, you know, herbs, leaves, edible flowers, vegetables, things like that. And, you know, hunting wabbits.
You have a extra dimensional cooler?
Yes.
You can, this is a well farmed and like there are hunters in the area who know the places to look for things. This is effortlessly easy for you to do. Whatever mm-hmm. you say you find, as long as it is reasonably available in a forest like Elwyn, you found it. So what would you like to have?
I didn't think about that, but a bunch of rabbits, and I want to take them back and skin them and stuff. And just, so rabbit meat, I'll have to think about how much, but like several pounds of it. And I understand that would be, you know, quite a bit of rabbit. And, you know, just big bundles of vegetables. Stuff to make stuff with, but I understand that food, it's not like I'm going into a farmed area and gathering food, because I understand that there's food shortages. So, yeah, no, I'm sorry, I don't have an answer for how much. I'm just going to try to fill my real refrigerator as best I can.
Sure.
And let me think about how long that will take. I think I've got, I was looking for recipes, and I'm like, I've got like the spider recipe, yeah? And I just can't find it. But I'm not out hunting spiders, giant spiders anyway. Seriously, am I going crazy? Don't I have a recipe book or something?
I thought we did. Let me take a look here. Cooking.
I just have it in my food bag as food items. I don't know how it is for yours.
You should have the battle burger, the raptor dogs,
right.
The spider surprise.
And wolf haunch crunch.
Wolf haunch crunch. I forgot about that one.
Where?
So they were items that Casey told us. I don't know if you guys have something separate like that you guys do, but he told us to add them to our bag, and then we equip them when we eat them.
You know what? I put it all into my fridge.
Oh, yeah, you've got the fridge
about
bag.
It.
Yeah.
I forgot that I made a fridge bag. That's
not the most elegant solution to that. I have like figured out better ways to do this since we made that rule. So that may be something that we change. I might make a handout about it. I might make an item that has a list of it, that sort of thing. But yeah, for right now, that's on there.
Okay. So,
and if you'd like to come up with a rabbit recipe that actually has a magical effect for well-fed foods, I am all ears about that, man. Absolutely.
Okay. I can make rabbit burgers.
Is anybody going to the Pig and Whistle to pick up the scroll of legend lore?
Yeah, we got to do that. Yes, let's go.
Yeah, so if while she's Butch is foraging, and while Falcus is doing the bow stuff, I can go do that.
Okay. It's very easy to get there. I mean, it's like this little sort of dive in Old Town, so it's only right down the street from the Silver Covenant headquarters. It's very easy for you to go there and get it. He told you that he hid it in there somewhere, so you're like, all right, well, it's not going to be in plain view, but it's very easy to figure out where it is, even without using things like spectral sight or anything like that. It's like he's got it tucked under one of the, like his like where he regularly sits. Tucked under the bar in that place is like a little canister that you find. I think legend lore is a fifth level spell. Do you have the ability to cast those at this time?
I can only do fourth level spells right now.
Legend lore is fifth. Okay. When it comes time to cast this spell, we're going to have to roll some dice about it, because you can cast a spell from a scroll that is of a higher level than the ones that you can cast normally. We just got to roll for it. I think with the scribe feat, normally, regardless of whether it succeeds or fails, you lose the scroll. As a scribe, you're going to be able to salvage it.
Okay.
Is casting this here and now something that you want to do, or is it something you want to do with the group?
With the group, so yeah, I would just take it back.
Cool, that's fair. At this point, we're starting to get close to when Billy is going to show up in the boat. You guys are out doing your various things. Butch is returning to the city. And you hear that there is a town crier who is shouting that there is to be an announcement out on where the king stands on the keep to give announcements to the city, a public announcement over at the keep very, very shortly.
Let's go.
We are back in action! Our heroes are rested and recuperated. Ari is growing more comfortable with her new demon hunter form, and Falcus has a powerful new weapon. In looking for their next move, they've learned that the King Anduin imposter will be giving a speech soon at Stormwind Keep. Will Butch, Ari, and Falcus be able to expose this imposter, or would that be a bigger fight than they've bargained for? We'll have to wait until next time to find out when we queue up for some more heroic Dungeons and Dragons.
Please follow us at twitter.com/heroicdnd, where you'll find our players' social media info and a link to our Discord server.